All Request Friday here in the Green Zone. We're keeping it Canadian today. 1-877-332-8255. That is the weekend blinding lights sent in from Pat. 1-877-332-8255 if you want to give us a request. Still to come, Britton Gray coming in. Jake Mayer, starting quarterback for the Riders. Rider fans, what do you think? Does this decrease the likelihood of a Rider victory tomorrow, or are you keeping the faith? I have zero dip in confidence in the Riders' win. I've picked them from the start. I am not changing that. I think Jake Mayer and the run game and the defense will be just fine tomorrow against the BC Lions for a big home victory at Mosaic.
I'll back that up.
Well, yeah, you got like a 90-point slugfest. Also coming up, Drew Romanda, our NHL analyst. But right now, speaking of NHL analysts, one of the best, Craig Button, will preview tonight's NHL draft. But first, I want to dig into this decentralized thing. It's going to look different tonight. Not everybody's going to be in the room. It's going to look more like the NFL draft than the old NHL draft. It seems like, Craig, many people are in the, well, it felt like a good idea at the time, but now that it's here, I'm not sure anybody wants to keep going forward with this.
I think you're right that they aren't fond of it. In fact, they aren't. And I think that given an opportunity to unring the bell, the managers would love to have said no to this idea. It doesn't work for a number of reasons. The NHL has a unique setup when it comes to the draft on an arena floor with everybody in attendance. But it's also a really efficient way to do business at an important time of the year. You know, it's not just what you're doing at the draft. It's trades. It's contract discussions. It's understanding what your opportunities are for free agency. I mean, there's a free agency in terms of locking in begins on 12 noon on July 1st. But there's a lot of work that happens ahead of that time. And now everybody being in their individual cities, it becomes a lot harder to affect that type of business. And the agents have significantly called out the managers for saying, like, you haven't helped yourselves in this regard. You've made things harder. And the uniqueness of the NHL draft, as I pointed out, is really something that's important. So I'm hopeful that this is the first and last forever decentralized draft, save for what we have to do in 2020 with a pandemic. That was a necessary decentralized draft. This one was not necessary, and I hope it's the end.
Craig, not that we want to dwell on this too much further here, but what was the, was it a money thing? What was the reason behind it?
Well, I think there was a couple of things. And sometimes you go down a path and you don't see the forest from the trees. And, you know, from what my understanding is, 31 of the 32 teams voted in favor of the decentralized draft, which means there was one opposing, which means that, you know, through the course of discussions, people thought it was a good idea. Well, you know, just because everybody wants to jump in the river doesn't mean it's a good idea. And I think that that's what happened here. And I think that cost was one, but now you're flying everybody into your city. So cost isn't minimized. Opportunity to do significant business is lost. And when I talk about everybody together to understand with the agents, I mean, you're making trades now to free up cap space. You're not freeing up cap space and you don't have a reasonable chance to get a free agent. So all this information and intel, just to name a few things, are critically important for the process and for the business of the NHL. And again, I just think that it was one of those things where a groundswell happened and before you knew it, it was in effect. And I think last year after the Sphere draft in Las Vegas, I think it was right at that moment in time that a lot of GMs, a lot of teams, whoa, what were we thinking here? And I don't think it's any less of an issue. And like I said, the agents really put the GMs on notice. They're like, what are you doing here? Like, we do significant business at the draft altogether.
Craig Button with us. Let's dig in. Have the Islanders already made the Schaefer jersey for the number one overall pick?
Well, if they haven't, I don't know what they're waiting for because he's the number one guy. And, you know, there's no rationale for, in my view, to take somebody other than Matthew Schaefer. He's a number one defenseman that I feel will have an opportunity to win Norris's. He's a pillar control type defenseman. I've compared him in type to like Drew Doughty. But when you consider what a player of that ilk with that type of skill can do for your franchise, I think it becomes significant. And I think Matthew Schaefer first overall to any team is as no-brainer as it gets. I think it's as no-brainer as Macklin Celebrini last year or Connor Bedard the year before. I really do believe that.
One of the conversations that's happening around a Long Islander is the Hagen conversation. Can you see any scenario where the Islanders take Schaefer, who's not only a great player, but by all reports, and he's been in the press quite a bit too, quite a spectacular young man, off the ice as well, and what he's gone through. But can you foresee a situation where they would try to get the kid from Long Island?
Again, like with the first overall pick?
Well, no, to try to make a move, like... I don't know. Maybe we're blue sky.
I don't think so. I think you look at it. I can tell you this though. Going back to the 2015 draft, which was, so we have 10 drafts under our belt, and this will be the 11th one since 2015. You look at what teams have traded down in the top 10 or have traded into the top 10, and just hold up one of your hands, and you won't fill up all your fingers. It doesn't happen. Because teams have spent too much time evaluating. And I use this term, I'm not using it in a critical sense, but you've spent an inordinate amount of hours going over your list and you really believe in these players and you see the good in the players. And it's really hard now to start to go, well, yeah, you know what, we're going to move out of here, like to get somebody else.
Yeah.
There's always the idea that teams want to move into the top 10 or move up in the draft, but it doesn't happen because teams literally have fallen in love with their list and their group of players that they're going to select, and they don't want to move out of them. And we know 3 and 4 years later after the fact that, boy, geez, you know, why did that player get drafted there? And why didn't that other player get drafted higher? That's just part and parcel of drafting 17 and 18-year-old players. But at the end of it, the reason there's very little movement in the top 10, up or down, is because teams have really put in a lot of time to say, this is our group, and we don't want to move out of it.
Still more to come with Craig Button. We need to get to the Sasky boys possibly getting drafted tonight. Of course, with the Roger McQueen out of Saskatoon and Macklin's Cole Reshny. Coming up with Craig Button on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. With apologies to Al and Trevor. This was the only Triumph song we had in the system. You wanted Triumph, you wanted Rocky Mountain Way or Rock and Roll Machine, but here we go. It's the Stanley Cup Lay It on the Line song from Triumph. 1-877-332.
We only play the hits here on the Green Zone.
Here on the Green Zone. Craig Button, more with Craig ahead of tonight's NHL draft.
So, Craig, is this a deep draft? Because it sounds, you get conflicting sort of reports about this year's crop of kids coming in because there isn't that one big star outside of Matthew.
Well, last year you'd say the only star last year was Macklin Celebrini. And the year before you'd say the only star was Connor Bedard. I think too much of the time the draft gets defined by the top guy in the draft. And rarely do we have more than one. And I mean, that's just the nature of it. A couple things I'm going to say. Is that, you know, because it gets defined like that, a team picking 8, a lot of times, oh, they'll tell you that the draft falls off at 6. The team picking 12 tells you the draft falls off at 9. The team picking 16 tells you the draft falls off at 12. Like, you know, here's what I'll tell you with the straight numbers. Here's the facts. The numbers, and I'd love to tell you exactly, there'll be approximately 45 players from this draft that will play 350 games or more in the NHL with varying degrees of success. 350 games is significant. There will be approximately 45. there will be at least 8 players drafted in the first round that will not have an NHL career of any significance. I'd like to tell you who they are. I'd like to tell you who the 45 approximately will be. That's part of the whole process. Every team picking in the first round and the second round feels that they got a player that's going to help their team. The numbers tell you that that's not going to be the case, and that's historically, and that is a fact. And we look at it overall. Do I think there's good players in this draft in the second half of the first round? Yeah. Do I think there's good players in the second round? Yeah. The Hockey Hall of Fame inducted Joe Thornton first overall, Duncan Keith drafted in the second round, and Zdeno Chara drafted in the third round. You'll find good players all the way through the draft that can impact your franchise.
Out of the top 10, there's probably only a handful of guys that'll play right away. Would Matthew Schaefer play right away?
I don't think he's ready.
Yeah.
He only played 17 games this year. Now, I'm like, and Matthew, I was talking to Matthew the other day, and he said his first 3 months in the Ontario Hockey League, he said he was terrible. He said he was just awful. He said he was the first overall pick in the OHL draft. He only turns 18 in September. He only played 17 games this year. I think another year of just building himself up, maturing, and then being able to really take a run at it in the following season is what's best for him. When I define ready to play in the NHL, I do it in this regard. It's not about being the best you can be at 18. It's about, can you find a way to contribute to a team in some way, shape, or form at a younger age? The regular season and the importance of the regular season and the importance of every game begins at game one for every team. Coaches aren't here to develop players at the NHL level, and the NHL is not for development. I don't think there's any player ready, by my definition, for the NHL. That doesn't mean there might not be a player or two that surprises you or ends up starting the year there, but I don't see any player ready to come into the NHL and contribute in some way.
Okay, we got to talk about our Saskies here. There could be a couple of first-rounders selected, starting off Saskatoon's Roger McQueen. You have him, I saw the show, the biggest wild card in the first round for the big man with some back issues in Roger McQueen, and also Cole Reschny maybe in the top 20. What do you like about these two Sasky boys?
So when I say Roger McQueen wild card, I think he's a top five player all day long. 6'5" centerman with his skill and the way he plays, I got all the time in the world for him. And it, I think if he had played the full season, he might very well be in the conversation for first overall. He's that good. He's that talented. Now, the back injury, and I don't do the in-depth work on the medical reports, but everything I've heard is he'll be just fine. But teams, when they're looking to build confidence in who they want to select, it's not so much about getting an affirmative check mark on the medical report. It's about in their own minds, how much have we seen them, how comfortable we are with them, how good can we be? And when you have limited viewings, it affects your confidence level. I think it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Roger McQueen went in the top five. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if he went outside the top 10. But I think that in a couple of years' time, we're going to be talking about, wow, did they ever get, if he does go outside the top 10, boy, what a good fortune for them. I see him a lot like another Saskatchewan boy, Ryan Getzlaff. I think that Roger has a lot of those same types of qualities, a clear-cut number one center. And again, I think that he's a really, really top-notch player. When it comes to Cole Reschny, I'm watching a player that can play the game any way you want. He's smart. He's good defensively. He's good offensively. What he did as a 16-year-old with Victoria, what he did this year as a 17-year-old, and more importantly, watching him play against the Spokane Chiefs in the playoffs, going up against another Saskatchewan kid, Berkeley Catton, Cole Reschny was outstanding. And when you're watching that type of quality of performance when you're evaluating a player and you're seeing him have that much success against a certain NHL player in Berkeley Catton, that gives you confidence that Cole Reschny is going to be a player that's going to be very successful at the NHL level. And I have no doubt that Cole Reschny can be that. The player that I've compared him to in terms of type is Anthony Cirelli with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And these players just don't come along very often. And I think that Cole is, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes in the first half of the first round. I know I did a mock draft with him going to Calgary. Calgary might not get a crack at them.
That is Craig Button. Good luck to Cole Reshny and Roger McQueen tonight. NHL first round draft, 5 o'clock. We'll keep you up to date during that hour. Although I don't know, it's the second pick has all of a sudden become very interesting. Drew might weigh in on this. A lot of speculation that was going to be Michael. Yeah, Michael Misa going to San Jose. They drafted his teammate last year, but now it's Frundell might go there. Maybe they'll trade around. We'll see what happens.
I think they'll keep Misa because of the guy that he played with. Apparently, they're like lights out together. And I watch McQueen. I think he's going to surprise everybody. His projection right now is first round, but I bet you he squeaks into the top 10.
More to come here on the Green Zone, including a chat with Britton Gray. Britton will be talking about the quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders tomorrow. Jake Mayer will get the start. That was made official. Depth chart came out this morning. Trevor Harris on the one-game injured list. So no Trevor Harris. The Riders will have a bye week. From the sounds of it, he'll be fine to go coming up after the bye week. Meanwhile, tonight in the CFL, the Montreal Alouettes are going with their backup quarterback, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, because of the injury to Davis Alexander. They're taking on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. As mentioned, the draft goes tonight, but other NHL news, big news. The Montreal Canadiens get a sign and trade with the New York Islanders. Noah Dobson, the offensive defenseman, signs that 8-year max with the Islanders, only to be flipped to the Montreal Canadiens. The Islanders get a prospect in a 16th and 17th overall selections in tonight's NHL draft. And the NHL and the NHLPA did agree to a 4-year extension. It now has to be ratified. Drew Romano will weigh in on the elimination of the dress code. Does that impact his attire on game days? We'll find out. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Locker with you on the Green Zone. All Request Friday is the fan line requested. We're going Canadian today. Little Recklaws there in the province. Of course, they did that event in Saskatoon, a party in the park. They're doing the Queen City X. Are they still calling it the Queen City X, Britton? Sorry?
I think so. Pretty sure.
I know there's some changes going on with the exhibition, but anyways.
They're a big festival, summer outdoor show.
They're a great band. They're a great time. Were you with me at the Briar?
Yeah, at the Briar. What a show. We were waiting for Long Live the Night.
Yeah.
And it was actually pretty good. I was impressed. But the only roller coaster I've been worried about, Jamie, has been the roller coaster in the quarterback room this week.
Wow. That's a heck of a segue, Britton Gray. I see what you did there. It's now official. It'll be Jake Mayer at quarterback for the Rough Riders. Not to put you on the spot, but has your opinion changed about the ability of Jake Mayer to lead an offense? Now that you have seen him daily, watched him at training camp, talked to him a few times, what do you think, Britton? Because, as you know, a lot of people like to bring up the past on your takes on the Blitz podcast, etc., when he was a member of the Calgary Stampeders.
Talking to him, it does give me a little bit more belief in who he is as a person and as a leader. That's really what we didn't get to see while he was in Calgary, how much of a leader he is. I like that. In terms of his on-the-field play, I need to see it. I need to see that Jake Mayer doesn't throw those ill-timed interceptions, those backbreakers as his team's driving down there, that he's a little bit smarter with the football. You need to see that from Jake Mayer. Otherwise, there's a reason why the Calgary Stampeders let him go. I'm hoping that we see the Jake Mayer who was the reason they let Bo Levi Mitchell go. The young quarterback they saw as the future of the franchise the next decade. Didn't work out there. You never know what a change of scenery does for a guy. So I'm excited to see what he can do with this offense that has been among the top scoring offenses in the league thus far.
So Jamie has zero concern and still is going with the Riders win. And it wouldn't have mattered if it was Trevor or Jake. Are you in the same sort of no concern? Absolutely. Jake is going to step in. And or is there a little more trepidation on your part?
No, I still think the Riders will win this game. I think the Riders are the better team. They're the deeper team. And ultimately, I don't know if Nathan Rourke's going to play or Jeremiah Mazzoli. It doesn't even matter who plays there. I'm still picking the Riders because I like the overall team. And what I've seen from BC, mind you, against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who look like they've really found an extra gear this year so far. But from what I've seen, BC is still missing a lot of things outside of just having Nathan Rourke out there.
When we look at this Rough Riders team and this offseason, how high a priority do you think this was for Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace? When they assessed 2024 and went, okay, what are we attacking this offseason? Where do you think backup quarterback was on their list after going 1-5-1 with Shea Patterson?
I think it was extremely high when you look at not just last season, the backup quarterbacks who've been through the Riders since the pandemic, since 2021. Hoot Mason Fine, Jake Dolagala, Shea Patterson. Your Jack Cohn is here now, but you're waiting for him to develop. Mm-hmm. This team has needed a trustworthy backup quarterback. They've been one of the few teams because there's been a lot of quarterbacks out there who've started games, whether or not you believe in them or not. This team has brought in guys who've never really started games, who've had one or two starts, maybe. And now they go out and get that quarterback who has 45 starts in the CFL. Yep. It was a major priority because, unfortunately, Trevor Harris has missed a handful of games every year he's been here so far. This is only one, but every other year it's been six at least, or missing the whole season. So it was a major priority to go out and get Jake Mayer.
So if we're looking at the quarterback depth chart for tomorrow, we got Jake Mayer, we got Jack Cohn, and then we got Tommy.
Yeah.
Now, are you as surprised as I am that when Jamie Nye ran into Tommy today at Mosaic, he didn't bring up my nickname?
I've already thrown your nickname in the trash.
No. Why would you do that?
Tommy Tsunami?
He might like that one. He hated Tugboat. Doesn't want to be. What
he was quite polite about Tugboat, by the way. He's like, it wasn't bad. It's just not my favorite.
We don't need to dwell on it. I just can't believe you didn't bring it up.
Tommy Torpedo, he kind of gave a meh to.
Yeah. But my co-host has a great one, Tommy Tsunami.
No, instead I said Britton Gray thinks touchdown Tommy, and he kind of went, yeah, I think that's what we're going to go with.
I told you my concern about that one is then what happens if you jinx him and he never gets another touchdown?
I will be shocked if that happens, Locker. He led the league in rushing touchdowns last season.
Right. Have you seen him run on short yardage? There's no doubt he is getting touchdowns.
Tommy Tsunami is a better nickname than Tommy Torpedo.
What about Touchdown Tommy? By the way, because Thomas Bertrand Houdon has fully endorsed Thomas the Train.
Yeah.
He does the train whistle, Selly now. So
I like that, yeah.
He's endorsed that one. Tank, a lot of people go, oh, Tommy Tank for Tommy Stevens. Tommy's like, that's good, but that was his, I guess that was his brother's nickname. And he's like, I can't really.
What's his brother's name?
I don't know what his brother's name is. But he said, my little brother. And he's like, actually, he's bigger than me. And I was like, what? Because Tommy Stevens is like 6'4", 230. But yeah, so he's out on Tank too, because that was his brother's nickname.
Yeah, so the journey continues, for the
Touchdown Tommy. He was okay with Touchdown Tommy.
Tommy, if you're listening, don't go to sleep on Tsunami, okay?
We'll see how it goes. What are the other keys? Outside of Jake Mayer's play, what are the keys? What are you looking at, Britton Gray tomorrow, as an offensive and a defensive key to victory for the Riders?
The rushing attack. The rushing attack has been very good thus far for the Riders. AJ Ouellette has found that extra gear. He's the running back we were hoping to see when they first brought him over from Toronto. I like what I've seen there. That will help take some of the pressure off of Jake Mayer. We know in Calgary, they had some great running backs that really helps the passing game. So I'm looking for that. On defense, takeaways. This team is built to take away the football. They haven't really done that so far. And a part of it, Some DBs are just straight up dropping them. They have been hit in the hands. They haven't been able to come down with them. Let's make some of those interceptions, get those catches. That's on defense. It doesn't matter if it's Jeremiah Mazzoli or Nathan Rourke. I think both those guys will look to air it out, and there will be opportunities there for this defense to come down with some interceptions.
I know it's early on in the season. We're 3-0, week number 4. AJ Ouellette is already on pace for what could potentially be a pretty significant year running the ball. And there's not too many. I mean, there's a couple of guys that are up there with him. But, I mean, if he has a big day tomorrow, what would be a successful year for AJ, and what would be like an exceptional year for AJ number wise in your opinion, Britton?
Well, getting to 1,000 yards again would be a good year for him. Exceptional 1,400, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you want from him. How about AJ Ouellette? Let's get 100 yards. I can't believe how close he's been to getting to that
does
point.
Does he not have one yet?
He doesn't have one as a member of the Riders. I have to look back. He hasn't reached 100 yards. He got 91, that 96. Come on, let's get him over that 100 mark this time around.
And finally,
100 this weekend. Maybe. Fingers crossed.
When it was 23-23, you were thinking I might have been onto something with the Elks and the Bombers last night, didn't you?
I did. Mm-hmm. And then Zach Collaros turned into, well, let's see, Trevor Harris is Michael Vick. Trevor Vick, who's the other one? Another Lamar Collaros.
What does that?
He put on the juice Zach there and Jackson. Ran one in. Zach Jackson.
There you go.
What does that third quarter say about Trey? Because I know in Edmonton, Elks fans are already calling for the backup to step in and replace
Cody
Trey.
Fajardo.
Right? I mean, they want Cody in there big time.
Sure.
He's doing short yardage stuff. Is Cody good at short?
Yes, he is.
Is he? Okay. How do you give him another chance just based on that third quarter?
Like Trey Ford?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's starting to look a little bit more comfortable back there. I liked what I saw from Trey Ford in that game. I mean, he hit the receiver, Julian Grant, right in the hands, and he dropped a touchdown. You need to make those plays, especially when your team's struggling. So I like what I've seen from him. He's improving, but you need to see more from this point.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure about Trey. We're getting deeper and deeper into his career.
At the beginning of the year, you didn't like him.
I'm very cool on what he's progressing as a quarterback. I'm going to reference somebody. I think he might be an Elon Green type player. All the athleticism, all the natural ability in the world, but you need a refined game at quarterback, and I'm not seeing that refinement coming from Trey Ford.
Is he not reading the defense?
No. Well, you bring a blitz at him, and it's like, gah! And then he runs backwards 50 yards, like, God, that drives me nuts. Cody Fajardo will do it too, so I don't know if that's going to be much of an improvement with what the Edmonton Elks have. But coming up next, Britton Gray will not stick around, but you're going to hear Britton Gray. His all or nothing talk about refining a player. How about the refined play of the defensive player of the year? All or nothing on Roland Milligan Jr. next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Scott called in, wanted a little Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway, all requests Friday, getting ready for a long weekend, Canada Day next Tuesday, all Canada today for your requests at 1-877-332-8255. But right now, we bring back Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray with his All or Nothing episode this week, focusing on the best defensive player in the CFL. In 2024.
Last season, Roland Milligan Jr. not only became a household name in the CFL, he became one of the elite defenders in the league, hauling in 8 picks.
Intercepted, sliding underneath. Who else? Roland Milligan.
And it's Roland Milligan back up to his old ways as the CFL's leader. Interceptions, grabs another off Masoli.
MBT down the field, intercepted. Who else? Roland Milligan. He's got his 8th and he picks his way back down the field.
That performance saw him get named the 2024 Most Outstanding Defensive Player.
Still shaking.
I don't know, it was just a real moment when they called my name. And just a rush of emotions. Kind of still got them right now. Just still trying to come back down from it. But it feels great, man. Just getting the recognition of all the work I put in.
So now in 2025, can Milligan be even better? He certainly thinks so.
That's what we're planning on. Just taking the game at a time, man. Practice at a time.
He's already done something this season he didn't do last year. Find the end zone for a touchdown.
Mitchell down the field, and that's going to be intercepted by Milligan. He's got it in midfield. Down to the 40. A little bit of room. All the way down to the 20. Still going to the end zone. Got there. Touchdown, Riders. Rolling.
I feel like it took long enough, man. It was fun, though, man. I was hyped. I've been trying to get in the end zone for a while, man. You know, they always been joking with me, getting to talk about quarterbacks and talk about offensive linemen and stuff, so it felt good to finally finish one of them off.
Defensive backs coach Josh Bell was excited to see the veteran finally reach the end zone and was impressed with the celebration.
Man, with the backflip, you feel me? It was amazing, right? To see him in that end zone, right, and expect him to get a couple more before the season is over with.
Bell also believes bigger things are on the way for Milligan because he's in his second season in the system and is more comfortable.
He's a little more free to kind of, you know, paint the Picasso how he sees it and kind of just go make plays. What I would love for him to be is a little bit more reckless. He's such a disciplined guy. He plays so well within the structure. I like to see him just say me more, a little bit more. Call his number and kind of set things up for himself. But how are you going to game plan when he's anywhere that he wants to be or he's wherever you want to throw the ball? I think that's what we got used to seeing last year, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year. And I'll say it out loud. I believe that Roland Milligan can catch 15 interceptions in a season. He's an amazing football player. He has that ability in him. Just the question is will they put it in the air that many times for him to get 15? But most definitely, I think he has that ability to make 15 interceptions easily in a season.
Milligan does credit Coach Bell for helping him reach this point.
He's big about expanding your thought process, your mind, and what you see, what you feel. So I feel like early on I was playing a lot off of athleticism, and then being able to pair the athleticism with the mental aspects, it helped elevate me a lot.
And for the veteran defender, he always believed in himself he could do this.
It's just being able to be available and then just to prove it every week. You know, if you want to be the best, you got to show that you're the best, you know what I'm saying? So just having the opportunity, you know, my body's holding up for me, and then just going out and making plays.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Roland Milligan Jr., what a find from Jeremy O'Day and the brass of the Rough Riders, as he will try to be even better after an outstanding season in 2024.
How's he doing this year? This year's numbers are pretty decent, right?
It's Milligan's Island. Nobody wants to throw over there because he's going to pick it off. You barely see him because nobody wants to throw around him anymore. He's got that type of reputation. Kind of like Gary Peters of the BC Lions, who the Riders will face tomorrow, as we're still not sure who's going to play quarterback for the BC Lions. Nathan Rourke's a game-time decision. What we do know, it'll be Jake Mayer at starting quarterback for the Rough Riders. Trevor Harris moved to the one-game injured list. He was unable to clear concussion protocol. Tonight in the CFL, the Montreal Alouettes take on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. The Owls don't have Davis Alexander. Instead, it's McLeod Bethel-Thompson. NHL draft, 5 o'clock start. It's first round tonight. Matthew Schaefer will go first overall to the New York Islanders. Then it'll get interesting with the San Jose Sharks pick at number 2. Does Drew Remenda have any inside information? And does he still have a dress code on game day as the NHLPA is eliminating it for NHL players? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.